chapter 2, verse 17 to 20. So have your Bible ready. If you have a pen, get that ready as well. But we'll look at that a little bit later. And I don't know about how some of you guys feel, but at least for some, myself included, the day after Christmas can be a little bit depressing. Wouldn't you say? There's a poem that reflects at least how some people feel on the day after Christmas. I mean, yesterday was Christmas, the day after Christmas. And let me read that poem to you. It's on the PowerPoint. So just, I'll read it to you. Okay, it goes like this. "'Twas the day after Christmas when all through the place there were arguments and depression. Even Mom had a long face. The stockings hung empty, and the house was a mess. The new clothes didn't fit, and Dad was under stress. The family was irritable, and the children, no one could please, because the instructions for the swing set were written in Chinese. The bells no longer jingled, and no carolers came around. The sink was stacked with dishes, and the tree was turning brown. The stores were full of people returning things that fizzled and failed. And the shoppers were discouraged because everything they had bought was now on a half-price sale. 'Twas the day after Christmas, the spirit of joy had disappeared. The only hope on the horizon was a 12 bowl games or football games on the first day of the new year." Well, that kind of says it, doesn't it? A little bit depressing. And for many people in the world, the weeks leading up to the Christmas day yesterday was filled with excitement, anticipation. And even in the life of our church, we did a lot of things, for the past few weeks. We lit candles. Remember there was like that candle set there. And we sang Christmas carols. We ate hot pots. Some of you guys ate hot pots. That was fun. We exchanged gifts, played white elephants. Actually, that was a lot of fun. Yeah. Some of us saw the skit or performed the skit on the Christmas Eve, on Friday. So all in all, wouldn't you agree, guys, wouldn't you guys agree that in this church, we have really tasted the spirit of the season? But there's something about the day after Christmas that can be a little bit disappointing. And perhaps some part of the holiday just did not meet our expectations. Or maybe for some of us, we just don't want it to be over. Christmas songs, jingles, those are really nice. And maybe the year 2011 is kind of scary to us. Perhaps we're not ready for that. And personally, this is really how I feel right now. Somehow there's this day after Christmas blue, that I have. And there's a certain part of me that I don't want that Christmas spirit to be over. You know what I mean? Like, there's a certain part of that. And I want to continue to focus on Jesus, the birthday child. But once the Christmas season is over, a lot of things changed. In fact, things are actually a lot worse in Canada, where I grew up. I remember when I was growing up in Canada, the day after Christmas is the Boxing Day. And when I was growing up, all we really care about was the sale, not Jesus, but the sale after Christmas. So that wasn't really helping at all. So having said all that, let's now turn to our passage for today from Luke chapter 2, verse 17 to verse 20. Let us read the verses together as a congregation in one voice. "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." The word of the Lord. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, even though Christmas is now over, the fact that you are alive still remains. Let us come to your word today and be reminded how we can respond to what we have experienced over the last several weeks during this season. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, from today's passage that we just read, I want us to see three ways in which we can respond to what we have experienced during this special season. And if you turn to your bulletin, you will see that I have pointed out those three blanks for you to fill in. All right, you guys see that? So I'll go through each of them with you guys. So here's the first way we can respond to Christmas. And we can do this by pondering. We will start in the middle of the passage, and let me read again to you from verse 19. Please go back to verse 19, where it says, "But Mary treasured up all these things," and what? What did she do? She pondered them in her heart. She pondered them in her heart. So verse 19 tells us the reaction of Mary after the birth of Jesus and the visits from the shepherds. It tells us that Mary treasured up all these things, and she began to meditate, to ponder, to think about all these things in her heart. That was what's going on in her mind when that happened. She kept on thinking about those experiences. Now, I believe this is what we need to do as well. We need to continue to ponder and to think about what we have experienced during this past Christmas season. Why? Because if we don't do that, we will soon forget about it. You see, we have heard enough sermons. We have prayed enough prayers. We have gone through enough services that it's so easy for us to get this callous in our hearts that the truth can no longer penetrate. It no longer impacts us anymore. Agree? Familiarity breeds contempt. That is, if we have experienced something a lot of times, repeatedly, we begin to lose the magic. Now, there's a story of a limo driver that I want to share with you. So this limo driver, he had been driving a really well-known professor to different speaking engagements. And, and since he had to stay there to drive the professor back home from the talk, he had the chance to hear the same speech over and over and over and over again. So one time on the way to another speaking engagement, the driver said to the professor, "Sir, I believe I could give you a speech myself. I've heard it so often. I've memorized everything word for word." To which the professor responded with a tone of half belief. And he said, "Okay, I'll bet you $50 you cannot do that." You're on, sir. So he stopped the car on the curb, and the two, they exchanged clothes. I mean, they're about the same size. So as they entered the banquet, the driver, dressed in a tuxedo, sat on the head of the table and was introduced by the MC. And then he stood up, and guess what? He gave that speech word for word with all the right punchlines and everything. And then when he finished, there was a standing ovation. People just clapped. And then they're like, "Wow, that was such a wonderful talk." And then the MC got up and said to the audience, "Well, since we're so fortunate to have such a fine resource with us tonight, and we have a little bit extra time, let's have a little bit Q&A, with the professor." So after the first question was asked, the fake professor just stood there, totally blank. Like, he was like... Then, with a flash of insight, he said, "That is just about the stupidest, dumbest questions I've ever heard. In fact, it was so dumb that I think my limo driver here can answer it for you." But here's the point. Familiarity breeds contempt. If we have seen, if we have heard something again and again and again and again, we lose that magic. So therefore, as believers, as Jesus followers, we need to continue to find new ways to express this ancient truth of Christmas. You see, God's word doesn't change. The Bible tells us that God's word is eternal. It stands forever. But the way we express them, or the way we extract the truth from the biblical story, needs to be made fresh to our hearts. And that's also one of the reasons why on Christmas Eve service, you guys did not get a nativity story. I want you guys to hear something different, but still hearing the truth of Jesus from Christmas. I mean, just think about it. There are things about the whole Christmas stories that's just crazy. A virgin teenager gets pregnant. And then, she was visited by angels. And then she had to pay tax to Caesar. A trip to Bethlehem with no room in the inn. And then God was born in the place where animals peed and pooed. That was the Christmas story. Doesn't that awe you? Doesn't that make you guys, what the? Every single time we hear it. I mean, all these are too incredible to believe. And even though we have heard this story so many times, let me just say this to you guys. As brothers and sisters, let us continue to ponder and to think about how bizarre and yet amazing that this God came to us this way. Amen? Agree? Nodding your head? All right? So that's point number one. Let's go to point number two. The second way we can respond to Christmas. Go to verse 20 now with me, where it says, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." So this verse tells us that the shepherds have witnessed the world's greatest birth announcement. And I'm sure that you guys have heard and read of these words so many times. But I want you guys to focus on one word in this passage, in that verse. And that is the word "you." You guys see that? If you guys have a pen or a pencil, can you guys circle that? "You." Actually, it's not there. Okay, well, let's go to verse 10 to verse 12. It's on the PowerPoint. And focus on the "you" on that. "But the angel said to them," to the shepherds, "do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." In other words, the angel said to the shepherds, "I bring you good news. A Savior has been born to you. There's a sign for you. You will find this baby." You know? And the angel's message was this, you know, like, Jesus is your Savior, your King, your gift, your Messiah. Jesus came for you. You guys hear that? You know, sometimes we focus on the word from the verse that God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son. But God so loved you that He gave you guys the one and only Son. Now, let me see a show of hand here. Like, who here in their family has a tradition of, like, buying gifts and placing them under the tree? Okay? All right? I mean, isn't it fun for those of you, you know, who have that kind of tradition? Isn't it fun to kind of go around and to find out which gift belongs to you? You know, you just go under the tree, you pick it up. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, this looks heavy. You know, this looks nice. And, of course, you know, for some of us, you know, sometimes, you know, for some families, they even have their names written on the gift, you know, on the outside wrappers. It's like, oh, this is my gift, right? Now, of course, not everyone is patient enough to wait for the gifts to be unopened until the Christmas day. This happened in our family. Like, just the other day, like, Esther and I, like, about a week ago, like, Esther and I, we were just chatting in the kitchen, we were just having a good time. And then, you know, all this, you know, was happening, and all of a sudden, our little guy Ian just came out, you know, with a little box, you know, in his hand, and he's just like, you know, just sat on the floor and began unwrapping it. And Esther and I like, man, this guy really knows that this gift is his, you know? And then he was like, you know, just smacking it. But next time I'm going to put it, like, you know, somewhere else so that he can find it. But he cannot wait for the gift. Well, in the same way, when the angels said to the shepherds that Jesus is your gift at Christmas, He is saying this to us too. He is my gift. He is our gift. And the fact that Jesus came to us means that we need to respond to this incredible gift. And the most important questions are, what will you do with Jesus? How will you respond to Him? And the Bible says we can respond to this great gift by praising Him. That's the second thing, by praising Him. When we receive a gift from somebody, how do you guys respond? Do you guys just kind of, oh yeah, nice, and just walked away? We respond by thanking and appreciating the giver, right? In the same way, when we receive this ultimate gift from God, we respond by thanking Him, and we do that through praise. But let me just probe about this. Let's probe in this a little bit further. When we come to worship on Sunday, do we come with that kind of attitude? that thankfulness. I mean, if we come with a half-hearted, unresponsive, and mediocre manner, what does that say about our hearts? Do you think God would feel, you know, like, what do you think God would feel if that's the way we respond to His gift? I mean, I think we can know how He feels if we put ourselves in His shoes. I mean, just think about it. Have you ever been disappointed because someone did not give you proper thanks for the things that you've done for them or the things that you bought for them? I mean, you send someone a wedding gift, for example, or a graduation gift, or a birthday gift, and then you realize that months later, you did not receive a thank you. That person just took the gift and walked away. And when that happens, I don't know if it happens to you or not, when that happens, it leaves a little sour taste in your heart, doesn't it? I mean, you feel like you could have done something, or you could have found something better to do with that $20 you spent. You know, not to mention the time that it took for you to buy the gift, to wrap the gift, to get the stamps, and to mail it, if you mail it to, you know, the gift to that person. And worse yet, you go out of your way to find something special for that someone, and then you see something that reminds you of them, and then you buy this gift, you carefully wrap it, you send it, you're like, oh man, when they receive it, when they open it, when they see it, it's from me, they're going to be so happy. But when you didn't get that thanks, you just wonder, did they forget? You begin to question whether the present even made it there to their door. And at the end, after a few weeks or months of zero response from the recipient, what do you guys think? How do you guys feel? I will never give you anything anymore. At least that's how I would feel. I mean, if that's how we feel toward those who are ungrateful to our gifts, what about God, who gave us the most ultimate gift of all? Let us be like the shepherds, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they have seen and heard. Let us continue to praise Him, not just with singings on Sundays, but with everything that we have in life, with good attitude, with righteousness, with purity, with forgiveness, and with thankfulness. Amen? God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. We can respond to Christmas by praising Him. That's the second point. Here comes the third and the final way we can do this, and that is by proclaiming. Proclaiming. When you finish writing that, go to verse 17 to verse 18 with me, where it says, when they have seen Him, the shepherds, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You see, the shepherds, when they saw this Christmas child, they could not hold that joy within them. You know, they had to proclaim. They had to tell somebody. Now, yesterday, I was just, you know, browsing online. And then I was, you know, I watched this collection of home videos about the best holiday gift freakouts. You know, like how, you know, like just, you know, from Newsweek. It's a bunch of, you know, overjoyed receivers, you know, of the Christmas gifts who are caught on tape, on camera, and then they send it to, you know, to YouTube or something like that. And then there was a guy, like, he received a PS3. It was wrapped and all that. And then when he opened it, he's like, oh, God, this is like, oh, this is like, he's just jumping in with joy. He's just dancing. He's just like, young. Oh, my God. It's like, you know, like, that guy was just like nuts. He's like, oh, my God, are you serious? Are you serious? For real? For real? This is like, oh, ah. And then it's just a hug the person, you know, like, who gave the gift. And then he's like, he did that for like 2 minutes and a half because I was watching. I was like, how long is this guy going to, like, you know, shout, right? But guess what he did at the end when everything calmed? He did not just start to open the gift and start playing it. He called his friends. He said, I have to call my friends about this. I have to call my friends about this. I have to call Steve and Bill and all those people. I have a PS3, you know? In the same way, when it comes to the ultimate gift, we don't keep it within ourselves. We don't hoard it so that no one knows about it. In the early 18th century, there was an Italian violin dealer named Luigi Tarisio. I think that's how you pronounce it. Luigi Tarisio, who spent his entire adult life collecting and dealing with violins. And when he died, guess what? People found in his home that he had possessed over his lifetime 246 violins, and many of them were of great value. They were, you know, they were found that they found them, you know, stored away throughout his whole house, you know, in the attics, in the basement, in the drawers, in the closet. But the greatest tragedy of all is that they found a Stradivarius. Like, whoever plays like violin should know that Stradivarius is a rare brand that was and probably still is considered as the finest instrument ever made. A genuine Stradivarius can be sold for over $3 million at today's market value. And when people found it, it was crammed in the bottom drawer, unplayed for many decades. Tarisio had this great gift, this great treasure that could have made a huge impact in the music world, but he simply chose to hide it. Now, how many of us are like him? How many of us are like Tarisio? We have tasted the goodness of God through Jesus Christ, but are we hiding it so that no one knows about it? Or are we like the shepherds? Or that guy who got the PS3? We just can't wait to share with other people. The good news of Jesus Christ, hear me, the good news of Jesus Christ needs not just to be cherished, it needs to be spread out. We don't gather together for a nice candlelight service on Christmas Eve every year and not share with anybody else outside the church. Agree? People need to hear that. They need to see it being worked out in real life. They need to experience it. And nobody can give that good news to the world except us. God has bestowed that responsibility to us. It is now up to you. It is now up to me to share that gift to other people. You remember what he said on the Sermon on the Mount? He said, "You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. If the light remains hidden, and the salt loses its saltiness, what good does it do? What good does it do?" So, brothers and sisters, let us not just ponder and praise God for what we have experienced during the Christmas season, but let us go into the world to proclaim and to share and to live out what we have seen and heard and experienced. Amen. Today is the last Sunday of the year. The Christmas season is officially over. And for many people, everything goes back to normal. Back to work, back to school, back to life. It is almost as if Christmas never happened. You know, the excitement was there, but then gone. Disappeared. But for us, that is no longer our attitude. Christmas really happened. And because of Christmas, everything has changed. God came for us and is now with us. Let me close by first reading Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, where it says this. And listen to these words. The people walking in darkness, again, the people walking in darkness, which is us, have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, which is this world, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, before we sing the response song, I want you guys to see a video clip that kind of summarizes everything that you guys heard today. Ted, is it ready? Okay. Let's turn off the lights and try to see this.